time that we have with you is set apart, and we will not share it with nothing else, no one else, but you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, we welcome you here tonight. We welcome you, and we know that every time we gather, that the Father has a plan and a purpose for each service, every time that we gather. And so we want that. We want what the Father wants tonight, whether it's in impartations, in sharing the word, whatever He has in store for us, we yield to that and comply with that. And we know that there's three parts to every service. There's God's part, there's your part, Father, there's the people's part, and the Word. And the Word never fails, and Lord, you certainly never fail. But Lord, we ask, Father, that we bring our supply, our part to the service as well, because it affects the flow. And it affects your moving, Holy Spirit, and how hungry we are and how thirsty we are. Not just showing up, but bringing our best, bringing our supply, bringing our amen to the Word and to everything that you would say and to do. It affects the flow. And so we yield and comply with you tonight. And I yield and comply myself. And I declare that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, that I will boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel, in which I am an ambassador in chains. I pray that I would declare it boldly and fearlessly as I should. For the Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains and encourages the weary. So we thank you. The lintel of the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, the angel of death will pass over you, and no plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When they seen the blood, back then in those days where when that decree went out about the firstborn smiting them, they said, take a spotless, blameless lamb, kill it and take its blood, put it over the lintels of the doorway. They were making like a cross over their doors and over the sides. They put the blood of the lamb. And then, of course, the remains of the lamb, they cooked it and they had dinner. Why, you may think, why didn't they put the blood over the bottom here too? Because the blood was applied over here, the lintel down here, but the blood was not applied there. Why wasn't the blood applied over the threshold? Because the blood cannot be trampled on. It's too precious. It's too precious, too holy for someone to walk over the blood like that. So it was applied on the lintels, on the doorposts. And that is what we call Passover. That when they seen the blood, and of course we know that the angel of death passed over those homes that had the blood of Jesus, and they were spared. Yeah. And the rest of the newborns were killed. But when he sees the blood today, when he hears you saying the blood of Jesus, again, we don't literally take blood and sprinkle ourselves and apply it, but we speak it. Because in Hebrews, again, write that scripture down in Hebrews 12. The blood speaks. The blood speaks even today. And more so, during the whole COVID time, we was applying the blood of Jesus over ourselves, over our bodies. And we continue to do that. Yeah, we get victory. Yes, in Jesus' name, because the blood is pure and it will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus is nothing less than the eternal power of God. Let that sink in a little bit. The blood of Jesus is nothing less than the eternal, ongoing power of God. That's how powerful Jesus' blood is. Powerful. And again, in Exodus 24:8, this is the account about Moses taking the blood and sprinkling it all over the people. And when he sprinkled it on them, he said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." When you apply the blood, you're activating the covenant, the new covenant that we have with Jesus Christ, and entailing all of its promises. It's being activated every time. So we don't go a day without it. Never. Even before we go to sleep, you know, with our grandchildren, with joy, you know, "I apply the blood of Jesus over you, sweetheart, over your mind, your heart. You have sweet sleep. Blood of Jesus covers you." And you know, you don't have to be near a person to do it. It could be thousands of miles away. It could be for relatives. Apply the blood. I applied the blood over my mom on the East Coast. She's protected. She's kept by the blood of Jesus. 97 years old, I would think so. She's kept by the power of God. Yeah. And lastly, this scripture is in Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, verse 8. Ecclesiastes, 10th chapter, verse 8 says, and this is out of the Amplified, "He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a fence or wall, a serpent will bite him." When the blood of Jesus is applied, a hedge is built around whatever you're applying the blood over, and no devil can pass that. He can't pass the bloodline. Yeah, it says, "He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a fence or wall, a serpent will bite him. Apply the blood of Jesus, and a hedge is built, and no devil can pass or get over that." Can't. Simply can't. Yeah. All because of the blood. Now, he doesn't want you to know that or us to know that. But if you remember anything from tonight, remember in the morning, even tonight when you go home, in your prayers, oh, yeah, the blood of Jesus. Apply it. Some, you know, in Pentecostal churches say plead the blood, either one, but we're applying it. But when you apply it, use your faith, the faith that you have in this blood of Jesus, and what it does, not just keeps the devil off our backs, not just repels him, but the blood of Jesus has just done so much, redeemed us, reconciled us, put us in right standing, gives us victory. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, the powerful word of our testimony. All these things are pointing towards the blood. And lastly, I want to bring up today, well, for the longest time that we've been coming to church, this church anyway, over 38, 39 years, prior to that, we belonged to a denomination to where we never heard the term altar call. Didn't even know what that was until we started coming here to Rosa Sharon. And funny, I was thinking about that while preparing this message, that we still and will continue to have altar calls. Now, remembering back in the Old Testament days, when they built the altars, there was always sacrifice involved. The two of them went together. Where you had an altar, there was a sacrifice. They just didn't build an altar. Always had a sacrifice and offered up something, an animal, to the Father, to God. And today, we have altar calls. And I just want to bring to light that when we do have altar calls, don't dismiss them lightly or just take them as, you know, whatever the Lord may be wanting to do in an altar call, whether it's healing, whether it's salvation, whether it's a word of knowledge, whatever it is. When you come down to this altar, there's an exchange made. And the altar here represents the blood of Jesus. So when you come down here, you're making a covenant, a divine exchange with God. Your weaknesses, your sin, you're laying down whatever it is here at the altar. So don't take that lightly. But yet, and don't be afraid to come either, because the altar is where we find whatever we need, whatever graces, deliverance, healing, whatever the Lord may want to do at that time. That's why it's so important, too, when we have an altar call for salvation. I don't ever like to just, can I have a show of hands, you know, and then just pray a prayer of them sitting in their seat. No. There's much, way too much more to salvation than that. Look what Jesus did. Look what he went through for our salvation. To the price that he paid, he gave everything. And you know, to just sit in your seat and just, you know, say a nice prayer and don't want to point, and I don't want anybody to see me, that's why you should get out of your chair, get out of your seat, not to embarrass you, but you come down to this altar and you receive the blood of Jesus to cleanse your sins, receive that completely, to have full, your eyes are just wide open to salvation and what it entails and what it means. So when we come down to this altar, and any time in the future, or even maybe even tonight, just remember, you know, that where the altar always signifies the blood of Jesus. It did in the Old Testament days to the Father, and so even more so today in the New Testament with this new covenant that we have. And it's a holy time. It's a holy place. That's why I don't know if you've ever noticed that when during our praise and worship or during certain, most of the time it happens during our worship time, when a lot of you come down to the front, to the altar, to praise and worship, doesn't God always move powerfully? There's always just such a strong presence of God when the people come down to the front, to the altar. It's not just coming closer because of what the altar signifies. Yeah, it's holy, and it represents the blood. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, I've never seen it in light of that before. So always know that when there's an altar call given, come down in reverence and in awe, but to receive and know that the Father, whatever you have need of, it's yours. It's yours through the blood and through the covenant and also all of the promises that he made. Amen, amen. And you know, one of the chief responsibilities of us pastors is to feed the sheep, to feed you, and to make sure that none of you are sickly, or malnourished, dehydrated. No, I don't mean in the natural, taunt-looking, but spiritually speaking, we're to look after your well-being, and we feed you through the Word of God, yeah. And I just wish there was more people from our Sunday crowd that could be here to hear this message, you know, because when you don't show up, you really lose out. You do. When you just come once a month, twice a month, you're going to get malnourished, and you're not going to be healthy spiritually, and that's not, you know, that doesn't please us, make us happy, because, you know, as pastors, we want the sheep, we want you healthy, we want you strong, we want you well, you know, maturing, progressing in the things of God, and where the Holy Spirit is taking us. Yeah. And so Jesus has provided us with his blood. Well, let's have everybody just bow your heads right now. Holy Spirit, thank you. We can go on for hours and hours talking about the blood and all that it accomplished and all that it signifies. We're so thankful. We're so grateful for the blood of Jesus. When we think back on what the Lord entailed, what he took upon himself as being pure and spotless, his blood was pure. It was pure, undefiled. It wasn't corrupted in any way. His blood was pure. The only human being that had, well, he came to earth as a man, but yet God, but his blood was pure. No one else on the face of this earth can say that. His blood was incorruptible, and yet he had all of us in mind. When he began his walk to Calvary, which started in the garden. So Jesus, we're so thankful for the blood. We have faith in your blood, in what it has accomplished, what it continues to do, and we apply it over our families, over our households, over our belongings, over everything that we own, for the blood still speaks today and is still speaking. And we thank you, Lord, for entrusting us with Jesus' blood. You didn't give it to another. You didn't give it to the church down the street. You gave it to us, to whomsoever would believe. We have the blood of Jesus. And there's countless millions of people that are going through ritual motions and exercises, useless, really, powerless, because there's no blood. There's not the blood of Jesus. They may desecrate something else and get blood, but it's not by the blood of Jesus. And there, your blood has the power to heal, to save, to deliver, to profit us in so many areas. So we thank you. We thank you for this blood. We thank you, Father. Lord, we're just eternally grateful for what the blood has provided for us. And if you have need of any type of healing for your mind, in your physical body, in your emotions, just come down to this altar and receive your healing. Just receive your healing. If you want to come down to the altar, just whatever the need may be, I may not call it out. You just want to be cleansed. You may say, well, I can do that in the privacy of my own home. But now while we're here together as a church body and his presence is here, and his power and the anointing is here. If you have need of healing in any area, in the mental arena, physically, in your soul, just come down to the front, to this precious altar. We thank you, Lord. I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to sing it to you. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, and what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, we thank you. We thank you for the blood, for the wholeness that it brings. If you need deliverance, come down. Come down to the front. If you need deliverance in any area, we're family here. Come down and receive your deliverance. Deliverance just doesn't have to mean from a stronghold like smoking or drinking or any type of other addiction. It could entail some other things too. Anyone needs deliverance. Power of God is here to set you free, deliver you. Break that from off of you. The blood of Jesus. Just apply it over you and you get set free. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.